KZX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A final confirmation vote in the Senate moments ago for Cash Patel's nomination to lead the FBI. He, in a vote to 59-47.
The yeas are 51. The nays are 49. The confirmation is confirmed.
Before the final tally, Democrats spoke on the Senate floor to oppose his confirmation. Senator Dick Durbin on why he voted against.
Let's be honest about what's going on here. There's an effort to have Soviet-style historical revision.
Republican Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska also voted no. The IRS says it's begun laying off more than 6,000 new and newly promoted employees across the country. A source familiar with the planning told ABC News it's part of the broader campaign to shrink the federal workforce and could impact the tax filing season. And Kentucky's governor says the death toll has risen to 15 from this week's back-to-back storms and flooding. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. We've been following a package of education bills in the legislature dealing with standardized testing, school funding, teaching cursive, and cell phone bans. The Assembly passed these six bills this week, all backed and largely supported by Republicans. One would require the Department of Public Instruction to change the standards used in testing here in Wisconsin. The Department of Public Instruction lowered standards for students after working with 100 Wisconsin teachers. This bill would basically undo those changes. Assembly Bill 6 would require school districts spend at least 70% of their money on direct classroom expenditures. Opponents, including Democrats and Superintendent Jill Underlie, say this plan ignores some necessary costs like school safety. Another bill would ban devices in classrooms during instructional time. It would be up to each district to figure out exactly how they would do that. A survey from the DPI showed that 90% of school districts that responded already have cell phone restrictions in place. Another one of these bills would give school districts 2 weeks to provide instructional materials to district residents who request it. Advocates say families already have that access. State Superintendent Jill Underlie says this seems like a move to sow distrust in school leadership. One of the bills would require that Wisconsin students learn to read and write in cursive. Studies have shown no link between cursive and increased literacy. The DPI is opposed to this bill as well. Underlie brings up the fact that they're still waiting on Republican lawmakers to release the $50 million already approved in the budget to reform how we teach kids to read. Lastly, Assembly Bill 4 would require civics instruction for students in elementary and high schools. Underlie wasn't against this plan, but she said Wisconsin students already have some of these requirements. All of these bills now head to the state Senate. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
Bobby Portis suspended. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NBA has suspended the Bucks' Bobby Portis for using a non-approved painkiller. Portis thought he was using Toradol to reduce swelling. His agent says he was mistakenly given a prescription for Tramadol by an assistant. Portis now facing a 25-game suspension. Just yesterday, Portis was informed that seven suspects had been charged with breaking into his Milwaukee area home last fall.
Like, you put all you can into the game, and then you come home, and then just all your belongings are gone, things that you work hard for. So it's kind of gratifying that these guys have been caught.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Back in L.A. when they had that group, Bandits in L.A., my son's home was one of them. That was Austin's home was one of them that was burglarized. Still trying to figure out how he got on that list. You know, when you think about LeBron, Taylor Swift. Yeah, it's an invasion of privacy. And you want whoever did it to be off the streets. The fact that they're able to do that this quickly with all these different people is pretty amazing. It's great.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Finally, some comfortable temperatures with highs hitting the low 20s and plenty of sunshine throughout the day. We pretty much put this on repeat for tomorrow, all ahead of a major warm-up hitting next week. In fact, by Saturday, we'll hit highs in the upper 20s and by Sunday, above freezing. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 22 degrees.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins us. Pete Schwabba from Nightlight will be here to talk about the major plot flaw in the movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
What is up, everybody? Happy Thursday, or just hey, it's Thursday. I don't know. Something about these days is telling me maybe not so happy anymore. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And as I do every Thursday, that he's available, I'm joined by a fabulous co-host. His name is Tom Paulswitz. He's a Navy vet, two-time congressional candidate in a deeply red district. Less so now that Tom's run a couple of times, and a small business owner. We got Jess P.S. on the board today. Thank you, Jess, and welcome back, Tom. Good to have you.
Good to be here. Yeah, another month that lasted a week. It's just, it's so much.
It's so much. So I just want to put all of this in a little bit of mathematical context, and that is that Donald Trump's term as president is 48 months. 48. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 48 months, right?
Correct.
And we have one of the 48 months is now done. So we are like we're 2% done. We're 2% done. 2%, yeah, is a non-zero number. We're like 2.1% done with it. So we're moving along. We've got one of 48 months done. Yep. We might introduce a little countdown on the show, Tom. It would give us something to aim for and a reminder every day,
right,
that this too will eventually end.
Yes.
Oh, so much happening. Folks, I have been beginning every show, because so much is happening, with a few quick things. And today, there are more than a few. There are many quick things that we should talk about and note. I wanted to begin with Kash Patel has now, just in the last 40 minutes, been confirmed as FBI director. Only two Republicans voting against his confirmation, Senators Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine. A surprise to many that on the day that Mitch McConnell formally announced that he will no longer seek re-election, that this will be his last term in the Senate, he voted for Kash Patel. Now, I have a little theory about why this went down the way it did.
Excellent. Yep.
I have an explainer for this. But, Tom, I was listening to his floor speech about, the turtles. I can't do good Mitch McConnell, but turtle.
It's really hard to do. Yeah,
it is. It's very hard to do. The turtle giving his sort of farewell address, which was jerky and pretty boring. And at points, I sort of was like, is he going to actually say something about American values in some sort? And he like vaguely referenced articles 1, 2, and 3. I was like, is he actually going to try to say something? But alas, no. And then he voted for Kash Patel. Your reactions to McConnell's announcement and Patel's confirmation, Tom?
Well, I think he now realizes that he's got a good book. So he's going to be able to make some money off of why he's not doing the right thing. So because in hindsight, he'll go, well, I should have done this and should have done that. And the rest of us will go, yes, you should have. But the rest of us have to live with the consequences of his inactions.
Yeah, there's so there's nothing like being a U.S. senator to insulate you from real world impacts
or real world impacts,
former U.S. senator. Right.
The rest of us have to live with this thing that, is, you know, the slow dying of democracy that he had a direct hand in.
Yes, so, he was in large part a facilitator. Right.
Instrumental.
Absolutely essential to Donald Trump in his first term. Never, despite his statements that Donald Trump can be held criminally and civilly liable and his explainer for why he voted against the January 6th impeachment proceedings.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Except not, I guess, has never really what I would call like cleansed his soul or come clean about any of that. And his moral responsibility, his legal responsibility. Here is my explainer for why McConnell voted for Kash Patel, which shocked many. He voted against Gabbard. He voted against Hegseth, and he voted against RFK Jr. Here's what. You know where J.D. Vance is right now?
He's in Europe.
He's not. I don't actually think he's in Europe. I think he.
Oh, is he back in Saudi Arabia or is he somewhere?
He's not in Washington, D.C. I think he's at the CPAC conference.
Right.
He just gave. Right. He came back from Munich to double down on his remarks in Munich at the CPAC conference, which in Munich, of course, was basically met with shock, dismay, deep concern, and French President Macron trying to gather the Western alliance together again, absent Trump, to talk about what to do about this problem. So the explainer here is McConnell, who, despite his sort of symbolic protest votes on these others, which he knew would be confirmed regardless of his vote, once Collins and Murkowski came out and said that they would vote against, had Mitch McConnell also voted against, you would have had a tie in the Senate. It would have, because all Democrats voted against Kash Patel because he has an enemies list. And all this talk about we want an apolitical law enforcement system in this country is absolute, especially coming from Donald Trump and MAGA. That lie is made plain by the confirmation of Kash Patel, who literally is a political animal and a political lapdog of Donald Trump and has an actual enemies list that he published in a book. So if it would have been a tie, you need the vice president to break the tie. But yes, J.D. Vance is off in who knows where at the CPAC, further torching America's leadership position in the world. So there was no J.D. Vance.
So Mitch McConnell's core values, he believes that he doesn't want to inconvenience J.D. Vance for the good of the country.
Correct.
So, yes.
Oopsies.
But I will tell you, there's not a Donald Trump without a Mitch McConnell.
100%, Tom. There's not a a Donald Trump without a lot of these people.
Right,
but Mitch McConnell's tier one.
Instrumental.
Tier one.
Right, because he said the courts will take care of it, and the courts didn't take care of it. So here we are back here, and I feel nothing but sadness for the man and glee that he's not running again. Because I don't know what's wrong with Kentucky that they keep voting him in. So thank goodness.
Maybe
Andy Beshear will run.
But
maybe Andy Beshear will run.
It might get worse. We're just so through the looking glass on everything.
Right.
It's so very shocking.
That's one thing, though, right?
Yeah, that's one of my. Well, it's two things. Mitch McConnell and Kash Patel, they were related, as most of the news actually is. I wanted to mention these things. That, again, seem to be unrelated, but are deeply related. And that is Donald Trump is looking at defunding and firing a bunch of people that work in the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. It's referred to as CISA. These are the people that help ensure that our elections are not hacked by foreign governments, you know, like Russia.
Pretty important stuff.
Pretty important, but no. Let's gut that down to the bone. So that's one thing. Here's the other thing. Pam Bondi has shut down the DOJ's foreign corruption unit.
Yes.
So within the DOJ, there are a group of prosecutors that are basically dedicated to the things like Robert, the former Senator Robert Menendez's foreign influence peddling, trying to buy elected officials in the United States. It's a key bulwark against the corrupting influence of foreign officials, especially adversaries of the United States. So you got CISA going down, Bondi's shutting down the Foreign Interference and Corruption Unit at the DOJ, and Donald Trump, via executive order, has tried to basically annul the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
Yes, right.
Which basically deals with the private sector's potential corrupting influence when they go to do business abroad. It's a pretty complicated set of federal laws. I actually worked on an FCPA civil investigation on behalf of a client that had been asked to do that by the Department of Justice. Well, what does all, like, this is one of those little maybe Sesame Street boxes, which is like, which one's doing its own thing?
None of them. Which of these things is not like the other, right? Like, right? They're all like
they're
the
all
other.
Like the other. It's all yes. one thing. It right. is all basically like clearing a path.
Yes.
For Donald Trump to corruptly, and anyone aligned with Donald Trump, to corruptly conduct themselves in business or as an elected official to further Donald Trump's personal wealth objectives or his political objectives. And then, of course, you throw in the Eric Adams pardon, the J6, right? It's like all of this is of, Cash Patel, right? Like the lackey, you put it all together and what does it spell? Government corruption.
Right. So we'll be talking about two things next week, which is one will be Bob Mendez's pardon.
Oh, right? Yes. You're right. Right. He, what did he get? 11 years. So right. And he's now shilling for the pardon.
Like, hey, we don't care about that anymore. And the other will be is the Democrats will be asking for tariffs on bribery. So if the foreign bribery is coming in, at least we can tariff the money, can't we?
That would be good. Disclose it and tax it, in essence.
As long as we're doing it. Yep.
We joke a little bit here. Folks, that is the voice of Tom Paulsiewicz. He is my guest host here on the Maggie Dawn Show every Thursday when he is available. We love having him here. If you want to join our great conversation this afternoon, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I want to give you a little outline, everybody, of what we're going to talk about today. And then I've got one last quick thing before we go to break. We are going to be talking about Ukraine and basically America becoming a villain when it comes to Western democracies. And all of this happening in the span of, 7-10 days, something like that. We're going to talk about Ukraine. We're going to talk about the SAVE Act and the, it's not an underlying current, the main tenet of the MAGA movement to put women back in kitchens and bedrooms and keep them there and keep them out of voting booths. And last but not least, if we've got some time, we'll talk about J.B. Pritzker's budget address, which I thought was an exemplar of what Democratic governors should be saying and doing, and indeed all Democratic leaders, instead of, you know, posing for pictures outside the Hoover building when they know the guy's going to get confirmed anyways. We're going to take a little break. One last quick thing. Bobby Portis,
Bobby.
Suspended for 25 games for taking an opioid painkiller that he thought was something else. Read the labels, folks. My name's Maggie Dawn. We're going to come back with more. We'll dive into Ukraine. You're not going to want to miss it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'm going to keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Blind Shot Social Club, a perfect blend of cool, casual dining, indoor golf with space for events, craft cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks, too. A hidden gem on Madison's East Side. Blind Shot Social Club, open to everyone. BlindShotSocialClub.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Everybody, welcome. If you're just joining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined by my special Thursday co-host Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, and Navy veteran. If you want to join our conversation this afternoon, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you'd rather get a look at Tom and I talking about stuff, you can check out Civic Media's YouTube channel. You should go check it out. Check out Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Instagram, and Facebook. We can see your comments there and respond to them just like the text and phone line, 855-752-4842. Got an interesting text from John from Milwaukee. He's one of our frequent conservative trollers on the text line. Tom, I just want to sort of close up our discussion about these appointees. Here's John's comment. Trump played you libs all for fools when he put Pete Hegseth up for confirmation and you all freaked out. Then he played the okie dokie on all you when he put his when all of his other appointments sailed through. Classic playing chess against checkers. I had some choice thoughts for John, but I wanted to get your thoughts for John, Tom, as well.
Well, I appreciate that. I guess I've always thought that the nomination should be someone whose best interests are in the interests of the country and who are competent and can help all of us, not just one party. So if the idea is to own the other party instead of making the country better, I'm confused about what MAGA means. So I guess, John, if you have a better answer for that, please text it back to us because that would be helpful.
Well, Tom, as ever and always, you had a much more level-headed response than I did. My response to John from Milwaukee was, so what? Okay, so you own the libs. Pat yourself on the back. I thought politically driven enemies lists were bad. If the Biden enemies list or whatever MAGA is saying about that allegation is bad, why is it a good thing now for the FBI to have a Cash Patel enemies list? Like, what is the principle here? What is the value that we hopefully can agree on? And then argue about how to see that value best expressed in the world. This is what I see a lot from conservatives, which is just this concept of winning and owning the libs. And winning what? And again, I raised this.
What are you winning?
Correct. Right. I raised this because when we get to J.B. Pritzker's budget address, it all ties in very nicely.
Yeah.
But it also bridges us very nicely to the discussion about Ukraine. By the way, Hegseth today announcing that he's about to fire a bunch of generals. Also today, Trump apparently cutting 84% of a department within HUD that is responsible for community block grants that are disaster relief. So, right. Again, all of those things that Donald Trump was telling you he was going to do to help people is hogwash. Yes. But looking at this, and you look at Pete Hegseth as a nominee who is just an icky dude and vastly underqualified, right? He's about to fire all these generals who followed orders and assignments to do what they were told, which is kind of how the military works, right, Tom?
Pretty much how the military is supposed to work.
Yeah.
Yes.
For some of them apparently like working on diversity and inclusion.
Yes.
Pete Hegseth was the single most underqualified, had the least qualifications of any modern American Secretary of Defense candidate. The entire cabinet is made up of mediocre, but well-connected, influential, look good on TV kind of people. If that's not some sort of weird inverted DEI, I don't know what is. But again, return.
Well, if your goal, Maggie, is ratings,
right?
Then this is the best cabinet put together, right? Because it's going to have great ratings. We're going to be spectacular on TV. But if it's actually working for the American people and protecting us and actually getting things done that the government should be doing, it's going to be horrible. And it's already starting. I think, Maggie, you're alluding to, and I've been thinking about this a lot, is it feels like the protections to keep other countries from having sway in this country, especially for the ones that have very nefarious reasons, are being slowly taken away or dropped.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Europe even understands it yet, but they are now fighting a war on two fronts, not just one.
Well, I think Tom Nichols wrote this yesterday. I never thought I would see the leader of the American nation siding with the Kremlin in a war of aggression. Donald Trump calling Volodymyr Zelensky a dictator. He won an election by an actual landslide back in 2019. They weren't able to hold elections last year because the entire nation is at war, right?
And just so everyone's clear, you're not playing chess if all you're doing is repeating the last thing you heard. That's not chess.
Yeah, that's just being a puppet of Trump, right, who in by extension is apparently a puppet of Putin. And all of this comes back to the, like, to what end? How is this helping American interests? We've always stood on the side of what I'm just generically going to refer to as the Western Alliance, democratic small d systems of government, of human rights, of equal rights under the law, of a free and open press. These are not things that Vladimir Putin has any interest in.
No.
And has killed journalists and political opponents. Yes. When do we line up on the side of the authoritarians? Like, sons and daughters die, right, in the military defending the principles that I thought we all stood for. We're basically abandoning NATO. He hasn't actually removed us from NATO, but this is an effective...
Not technically yet.
Right. I mean, it may be coming, Lord knows. Yes. But, you know, have you no shame, sir? What do you not feel, Donald Trump and those that support him, that we have any responsibility to other Western democracies? And if not, why not? And what the heck have we been doing since the 1940s?
Well, and I think, Maggie, you and I touched on this maybe like 3 weeks ago, that everything's a transaction.
Yeah.
And there are no relationships. And when you use that filter to think about what's been happening lately, it's transaction after transaction after transaction. Transaction is, we want half of your mineral rights.
Right. And if you don't give them to us, we'll just feed you to the lion, being Vladimir Putin. We got to take care of a little business. We'll be right back with Tom Paulswitz on The Maggie Dawn Show, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
Avoid
voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Nationwide testing of milk for high-path avian influenza has been underway for a few weeks. Where does Wisconsin's testing process stand? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. Well, as of last week, Wisconsin has indeed engaged in testing our milk for high-path avian influenza. Randy Romanski, Wisconsin Secretary of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, says in Wisconsin, though, that testing process not as easy as other states.
Well, Wisconsin is America's dairyland, and obviously our state and its industry is unique compared to other states. We have more dairy farms than any other state, and quite honestly, we have more dairy processors than most other states have dairy farms. So it took a while to work through the process because when USDA recommended testing silos, that was in a state like ours, it's so unique that that is a difficult and timely process. So we worked with our federal partners, with our state partners to try to find a system that works, still gets the information that the USDA wants and that we all need to know, and at the same time is going to work for us, our staff to collect or somebody to collect the material.
Randy Romanski, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, he said while details are still forthcoming on how they'll test milk, right now he anticipates that they'll utilize samples that are already collected for routine milk testing to try to streamline the testing process. As of last week, across the United States, there were 36 cases of high-path avian influenza in livestock in four different states in the last 30 days' time. Wisconsin has yet to detect any case.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation.
And Saturday is the deadline to submit applications for this year's Century and Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Recognition. It happens in August during the Wisconsin State Fair. Go to the Wisconsin State Fair website for details and applications. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Finally, some comfortable temperatures with highs hitting the low 20s and plenty of sunshine throughout the day. We pretty much put this on repeat for tomorrow, all ahead of a major warm-up hitting next week. In fact, by Saturday, we'll hit highs in the upper 20s and by Sunday, above freezing. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 22 degrees.
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on WMDX, sponsored by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Side or online at verlo.com.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Norm Kapinski from Appleton Cigar joins the show and makes a popcorn pick of the week. And then president of the Fox Valley Veterans Council, Tim Cody, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. For a little while longer, Tom Paulswitz, my guest host on Thursday, and I will continue to discuss what is America's turn towards countries. Okay, let's just be specific. Donald Trump's new alliance with Vladimir Putin, in contravention of everything that conservatives have said for, what, almost 100 years? I mean, like, literally going against everything that conservatives have said for the last 85 years, which was always very hawkish, always strongly in opposition to authoritarian regimes like what we see now in Russia. And there has been a war of words of sort in the last few days between Ukraine's president Zelensky and Donald Trump. Ukraine's president for a long time has tried to execute a very difficult rhetorical balancing act, trying to to apply pressure to get U.S. aid, including specifically armaments, while trying to figure out how to manage Donald Trump's obsequiousness and knee bending to Vladimir Putin. And what happened in the last couple of days is Zelensky used a phrase that roughly translates to, like, Donald Trump is in an information bubble. Right. And of course, because it's Captain Thinskin, you know, cries a lot, whines a lot. He freaked out, and then he called Zelensky a dictator and said that Ukraine started the war, which is insane because Russia invaded Ukraine, because Ukraine didn't say, oh, well, sure, we'll just, we're a sovereign nation and all, but we'll just, sure, we'll give you that land that you're asking for. And here's the thing, Tom, and I want to get your impression on this, and then I want to talk a little bit about what some Republicans used to say about Vladimir Putin and what they're saying today, because it's so mealy-mouthed and weak-kneed that it should be embarrassing to them. But it's, you know, the huge from the current group of Republicans in the Senate and the House. Donald Trump claims to be this master negotiator.
Yes.
It isn't masterful negotiation when you give one side all of the things that they want. Like, wait a minute. Yeah, you're achieving peace as if Ukraine doesn't exist by simply giving Putin everything that he wants. Ukraine could have done that by just simply capitulating before. So that's not an effective negotiation. That's just favor trading with an authoritarian who kills journalists and political opponents.
Correct. Yep. But I think we need to frame this in a different way.
Please.
People were sent to Ukraine to offer up, specifically Treasury Secretary Bessent, right? He went to Ukraine to offer up a deal to test Zelensky's loyalty. And Zelensky failed.
Yeah, give me your good stuff or else.
Right. But it was, hey, do you know who you really owe this money to or who you should bend a knee to? Now, Vladimir Putin continues, at least in Trump's mind, to establish some level of loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you want to deal with if you're Donald Trump? Well, you deal with the person you think is loyal to you, and you give them what they want, and you punish the other person for their disloyalty. So once again, this is, you know, and I read an article the other day. This is transactional, but predictable.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly how Donald Trump operates. And it's incredibly predictable. I think the challenge is that we in the United States think we have a core set of principles and values that we live by. Donald Trump does not live by the same values and principles.
Well, and that...
So,
go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
So what we're left with then is somebody who's dealing in these ways that are against our core values.
And the question,
and we knew this.
Yes.
Like, this was totally predictable. We absolutely knew this was going to happen, but we thought the guardrails were significant enough. We thought there would be some level of country over party. Those have not been shown to be effective. And yeah, that's why I and I'm not joking when I say that Europe has now realized they're on a two-front war, because they no longer have the United States to rely on
as an ally.
And they now have an aggressive Russia that is going to want more. I mean, I just read that Denmark is drastically upping their military budget because they have to now.
Yes.
And it's not because of what the United States is doing. It's because what they think Russia
will do. And this gets into what are decades worth of what I'm going to call aggression deterrence from yes. autocrats and dictators. You know, people devote their lives to studying these kinds of things. But all of that deterrent effect that America has had as standing as a leader of the Western alliance, always being strong, and we will not allow borders to be eviscerated by Vladimir Putin or by Iran or by China, has been effectively wiped off the table in a week and a half by Donald Trump.
Very short period of time.
And yet
very
utterly predictable in its transactionality, yes. right? And that's what I find challenging, and it's a good segue to, well, what are Republicans saying? Because one of the guardrails that many, at least back in Trump 1.0, hoped was right. that Republicans of good faith, who for decades, in my term, basically since the late 1930s, so nearly 85, 90 years, that they wouldn't abandon all of these first principles that had right. been a key pillar of Republicanism in this country, which was to oppose those things aggressively through both diplomacy and military might, Lindsey Graham among them, right? Here's Lindsey Graham about a year ago. If you're worried about being too provocative about Russia, stop worrying. Just stop worrying. You are not too provocative. We need to up our game when it comes to Russia. That was last June.
Right. Not too long ago.
No, last June, while he was introducing a resolution to designate Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism, like North Korea, Syria, Cuba, and Iran. He repeatedly refers to Putin as a thug. Here's what he said last week in Munich. He praised Trump as a strong leader who could, quote, get a good deal for Ukraine. What? I don't care if they meet Putin in Cleveland. I don't care if they don't talk. I don't care if they go on vacation. It doesn't matter to me what you do as long as you get it right. Well, query Senator Graham, what is getting it right?
Yes. And I think the real thing here is, what do we as the American people, what options do we have?
Yes.
We can protest, right? There were protests on Monday.
Yep.
I think there were protests in all 50 states. I know we went to the Capitol here in New Mexico. We went to Santa Fe, and there were protests there. And,
love Santa
you know,
Fe.
But I think that the bigger picture here, though, is the ball is rolling down the hill, and it's rolling fast, and it's gaining mass.
Steve from Stoughton on the text.
Where's it going to stop?
Yeah, Steve from Stoughton on the text line says the GOP clearly values winning and tribalism more than our country. This is very scary when the president thinks he is the country's CEO and king and is eliminating departments, firing leaders in general that might stand up to him. Very scary. Yeah, that's exact. Listen, they say it's about efficiency. It's not about efficiency. No. It is simply
nothing
about
to do with it.
Dismantling right. government. Shrinking it to the benefit of billionaires, right?
Right.
It is about removing apolitical experts who actually yes. would say, that's not true, or that's a really bad idea. That's what it's
right.
not about saving money. A lot of economists are looking at what they're doing and going, well, this is actually going to cost more than any of the purported savings. Matt from Middleton says this on the text line. I think Americans need to see how people actually live under autocrats and dictators. What it is like to have government look over your shoulder, to be able to not trust anyone or anything, to have to hide who you are, what you think, and right. what you believe. This is un-American. Hear, hear. And indeed, what we are seeing is that sort of policing now being proposed. Missouri yesterday introducing legislation to monitor women's pregnancies for a vague category, all of them, not just some of them, all of them, and to earmark those that are deemed by an unspecified metric to be at high risk for abortion. Now, mind you, abortion's still legal in some states. Why the government of Missouri gets to, you know, monitor my menses would be beyond me. Ladies of Missouri, madams of Missouri, stand up. But that's the kind of thing that starts looking very authoritarian. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you wanted to get in some thoughts on these mealy-mouthed Republicans.
Oh, good Lord, yes. Just mealy-mouthed. I mean, not for Ron Johnson. I mean, like, I called in yesterday, and I spoke to you. I know I spoke to Dom. That Ron Johnson's staff person could not say whether Ron Johnson would say that Russia invaded Ukraine and Russia started the war. He couldn't bring himself to say that. And I've been unable to get, you know, find out what Ron Johnson actually did. I've been trying to find out if he's had any press releases on it or not, because he's, you know, cowering in whatever basement he cowers in. That, I mean, Russian Ron Johnson was over there in 2018, and he just kind of blew me away with what's happening in Missouri now. I was thinking, what next? When girls hit menses, they had to register with the state, put themselves on a list for marriageable, because it'll reduce the age of consent down to menses. And these incels and our new rulers are going to select which young women they decide is going to be their.
I mean, Margaret Atwood called it, right? I mean, this is literally a
made a whole TV show about it, right?
Well, it was an award-winning book first, but then the TV. Okay, if you're tracking the menstrual cycles and the pregnancies, then what? Right? And we'll get there with the SAVE Act today. But again, all of this is of a piece. Here's John Thune.
But Maggie, you know why the Missouri Republicans are doing this. They have said that they are not going to let the voters decide whether abortion is legal.
Which they had. The voters in Missouri had voted.
But the Republicans are like, nope, we're not buying it. We're not going to leave it up to the voters. This is something we believe in.
It's a workaround. Yes.
It
is a workaround. Absolutely. Because voters in Missouri voted to constitutionally protect a woman's right to control her own body, which everybody keeps saying was the point, which was Donald Trump's line, like, let the states decide. But tracking women's pregnancies is the opposite of honoring the voters' sentiments. And by the way, I have to get this in here. I about threw a cocktail into my flat screen television when I saw that Schimmel the Shill, Mr. Shameful himself, Elon Musk's puppet here in Wisconsin, say in an ad that he believes Wisconsin voters should decide the question of abortion. If you do believe that, Schimmel the Shill, you shameless liar, then why don't you tell Robin Voss and the rest of Republicans in the state legislature to put that on the books? Or put that vote up for a referendum, actually let direct democracy work in the state.
Yes.
And they never, ever will. They're more worried about stripping local school districts and local voters from deciding how to fund their own public schools and trying to game the system to suppress votes through confusing constitutional amendments. Brad Schimmel is a liar. And it was exactly this sort of positioning. It's like you say you want the voters to decide. Well, they decided in Missouri. So, Schimmel, do you support tracking women's menstrual cycles to make sure that they're, I don't know, not at some.
He would say no, but yes.
No, but yes.
Yes. And I think one more thing, Maggie, let's change our countdown from 48 months to 24 months, because that is the next key election. And if we win back the House and potentially the Senate, things get different.
Things get very different fast.
We may have to have a hand count of all votes.
Oh, heaven help us. Human error. And in fact, in this state, we've got, 40 days till we decide the fate of our Supreme Court. Say no to Schimmel the Shameless Shill, Elon Musk puppet right here in Wisconsin. We're going to continue this discussion. We're going to move on to whether or not the courts are the weakest branch when we come back with Tom Paulswitz right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. You bring me down.
Move out.
a new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Eyezervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Eyezervay.com. That's Eyezervay.com.
Attention. If you suffer from consistent pain in your joints caused by arthritis, overuse, or injury, you may be a candidate for a revolutionary therapy that could revitalize damaged tissue. This approach can provide long-lasting relief from pain in your knees, shoulders, hips, and other joints with no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. To find out if you're a viable candidate, you may request a free consultation from QC Kinetics by calling 608-384-0897. Instead of masking the symptoms, it goes to the root of the problem to resolve it at its source. Already used by thousands of satisfied patients nationwide, this joint pain therapy is available right now to the public, but only for qualified candidates. Again, to find out if you're a viable candidate for this therapy, you may request a free consultation by calling QC Kinetics at 608-384-0897. That's 608-384-0897.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to this Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show, and I am joined every Thursday that he is available by a special guest co-host. He is a two-time congressional candidate, a Navy vet, and a small business owner. You might think by that description he would be a Republican, but he's not, and he's here with me and each and every one of you. His name is Tom Paulswitz. So welcome back, Tom. Before we move on, and again, all of this bridges together. These really aren't distinct topics today.
Right. They're all the same topic.
As a veteran, I wanted to ask you from that perspective, how much of a betrayal is this? And by this, I mean Donald Trump choosing as his ally, not Western democracies, not Ukraine, but choosing as his transactional ally, Vladimir Putin and Mohammed bin Salman, the guy who had a journalist executed. What level of betrayal is that to the men and women who have served, who are serving, and especially those that have died on battlefields in defense of principles and values that we have described as accountable government, presidents aren't kings, democratic principles, voting rights, human rights, a free press. How bad is that betrayal? Is it a betrayal? And if so, at what level?
Yeah, it's not a betrayal to the service people who already understood who Donald Trump is. I still get together regularly with my Navy buddies who I was in with, now it's close to 40 years ago. And some of them are Trumpers, and I don't understand the logic of it or anything else, but we all seem to understand though, that the defense of the country is the most important thing. I think instead of betrayal, I'd use the word conflicted. I think there's a lot of conflicted service people who voted for Donald Trump and were excited about what he would bring to the table. Now seeing that it's about Donald Trump, and the transactional element of what he's willing to do. And that's going to put them in harm's way, and it's going to put the people they love potentially at risk of having them in harm's way. I think that's the key. And I think we're just starting to see some of that bubble to the surface now in reports. But I think that's the part. There's going to be a tremendous amount of service. People are conflicted, and it's really going to come to head when they're issued immoral and illegal orders. And that's when you see what will happen in this country is how many service people are really going to follow, because that's what dictators do. That's what authoritarians do, right? So once again, Donald Trump has been absolutely predictable and has followed through on everything he said he was going to do. I mean, he just said the other day he wasn't going to cut Medicaid, and now he's backing the House plan for cutting Medicaid, right? So he's not going, he's going to tell people what they want to hear within his information, disinformation bubble, but watching what he does is the key. And I think for the military, we're going to hit a point, and I don't know when that's going to come, but we're going to hit a point where it's either going to be people leaving the military, resigning, getting out, whatever it is. And how are you going to recruit people who want to be on Trump's army instead of the United States Army?
Well, what does that do to our safety as a nation, to our national security? Again, 85 years of the United States in different ways, shapes, and forms under both Democratic and Republican presidents, standing against leaders like Vladimir Putin, and over the last 20 years, standing against Vladimir Putin in unequivocal terms, all of that wiped out in 10 days. Speaking of things that Donald Trump says and whether or not they translate into things that he does, he just a couple days ago executed an executive order that stated that the president shall provide authoritative interpretations of the law for the executive branch, which is basically like saying, thank you, Supreme Court and Article 3. We don't need you. I'm just going to do what I think I want to do, and you can all go kick rocks. And I bring this up, Tom, we can begin the conversation here, invite others to join us on the other side of the top of the hour, 855-752-4842, 855, what am I saying? 855-752-4842. That's
our favorite number.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're thinking and talking. But I wanted to go through very briefly with all of you listeners and with you, Tom, some of the things that were written in Federalist 78 about the role of the courts and these key foundational ideas, and how they are being either undermined or selectively chosen at different points in time by the Trump administration. So we're going to have that brief discussion. And then I want to turn to J.B. Pritzker's budget address. And then we'll talk about the SAVE Act. We are going to get it all in, I promise everyone. And I want to give a little tease on this. Here's what Hamilton wrote about the role of the courts as one of the distinct branches of government. The simple view of the matter suggests several important consequences. It proves incontestably that the judiciary is beyond comparison the weakest of the three departments of power, that it can never attack with success either of the other two, and that all possible care is required to enable it to defend itself against their attacks. We're going to unpack that statement and how critically it is important it is to this moment. We come back after the top of the hour, and important to each and every one of you and your family's rights and liberties. I've got Tom Paulswitz with me, Jess P.S. on the board, and each and every one of you, 855-752-4842. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We go to the phone lines and text lines next.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue our live coverage of the American Birkebeiner from downtown Hayward, Wisconsin. Brady Ewing, Peter Rapine, and you. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The John and Gordy Show.
Go back to an earlier era before the right dominated the national storytelling. You go back to somebody like Frank Capra. He was masterful at telling that story about the little guy, that heroic figure who had nothing but worked hard, looked out for other people, cared about family, and made a better life. And that kind of storytelling has vanished.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House touting President Trump's first 30 days in office. At today's briefing, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says the president has signed dozens of executive orders and kept his pledge to cut federal spending.
Today marks 1 month of President Trump's return to the Oval Office, and there is no denying this administration is off to a historic start.
National Security Advisor Mike Waltz working to clarify the president's recent comments and frustration with Ukraine's President Zelensky, saying President Trump wants to negotiate peace, but says Zelensky is not showing appreciation or willingness to repay the U.S. for aid sent to defend against Russian attacks. Pope Francis remains in a Rome hospital. The 88-year-old pontiff is battling double pneumonia. The Vatican says the pope is currently fever-free and his condition is improving. Israeli police say they have responded to a series of explosions on buses and a suspected militant attack in Tel Aviv. No one was injured. This is ABC News.
You can always